All right, so I said last week that we were going to start the book of Job. And I must confess, we are going to start the book of Job, but I thought I would get farther than verse 1. Amen. But I'm sorry, I couldn't get out of verse 1. So, amen, Loretta is here, glory. Amen, amen. We can start now, because... I've titled the sermon series, Lessons from the Book of Job, and I want to, as I was praying and thinking about weeks ago, about where to go, because I was on a theme about the goodness of God, and that theme runs through every book of the Bible, so we'll continue that. But as we come to the book of Job and in the suffering that we are currently in and seemingly might increase for any number of reasons, and not just us, but people, the earth seems to be heaving and groaning in birth pangs, waiting for deliverance, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The climate is heaving. Things are changing. And people are getting scared about a few fires in Greece and all the rest of it. And church, there's a fire at the end of the age that'll put Greece to shame. That's the one we ought to be concerned about. Amen. And so we're in a time of suffering in unprecedented levels in many people's lives. So I wanted to come to the book of Job and consider as we look at Job's life, the responses made in the book. And let me start off by saying that, because I always want to keep this first and foremost, the chief mover and the one who is worthy of all attention and glory in every book of the Bible is God. It is God. The book is titled Job. But God is seen in the life of Job. And so we, you know, I want to magnify that and never get our eyes off of it, because as we said, God reveals himself to us that we might know him, and he's glorified in the one after he's revealed himself to them as they walk in the fear of God and as they walk in obedience to him. So some would ask, why study the book of Job? Why study the book? Romans 15, verse 4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." We through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. That's a very good reason to study the book of Job. Some scholars I've heard said that we don't need the Old Testament. Pastor Andy Stanley, Charles Stanley's son, pastor of North Point Church in Atlanta, Georgia, recently said that we don't, recently meaning a year or two, said that we don't need to the Old Testament to establish Christianity, because Christianity is based upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is solely planted in the New Testament. And I understand what he was saying. So it was very narrow. It was very narrow, right? And to that, of course, biblical scholars, both Old and New Testament, said, "No, you're crazy. We need the Old Testament, not for practice, but definitely for pointing to the revelation of the new," right? A minority of scholars believe that Job is actually fictitious. There are some Bible scholars who believe that the person Job actually never really existed. And that can be problematic. That can be problematic. I'm not going to deal with that today, because for this pastor that you're looking at and listening to, he definitely believes that Job existed. Okay? And the reason... one is that both Ezekiel and James affirm Job. Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 14:14, "Even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would not deliver, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness." And so Ezekiel mentions Job alongside of Noah and Daniel, who were actual men. Why would he do that if he knew that Job was fictitious? James, in James chapter 5, James says, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So James acknowledges the personhood of Job. So I believe that Job existed. And he is a picture for anyone who needs hope in this life, for anyone struggling, for anyone who would doubt and question the sovereignty of God. We turn to the book of Job, because if I ask the question, are you in a situation that you cannot control? Everybody, either you are, have been, or will be in that situation. And not just one time, but multiple times in your life. Amen. Are you struggling with why you are there and how you should respond as it relates to God? It's another reason why we turn to the book of Job, because we look at Job and we see things even that Job would not have understood in his time. So we're going to turn to Job 1:1. And read, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. He and 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. Now, reasons why we believe that Job actually existed, because it names the place where he came from. And there was actually a place called Uz. In different places in the book of Genesis, there was a place called Uz. And it said that Job was from this place. This one commentary I looked at said that it is a catchment for the waters that run off this place where they believe Uz was, that run off of this Jebel Druze, whatever that is, I don't know, and is capable of supporting large herds of livestock such as Job had. Today it lies mainly in the northernmost part of Saudi Arabia, for those who were looking for this actual place of Uz. So we have a place, we have the name. Job's name is, some doubt what it means. Others say it means hated or persecuted, foe or hostile one. Another commentary conjectured that it meant object of enmity or one who turns to God. One who turns, that his name actually means repentance, because Job turned to God at the end. He turned and he repented of his ways and his judgments of God. So there we have him from the land of Uz. We have his name, and I want to deal with this latter part for the balance of the sermon, because I think it's important, as we'll see. The scripture says that Job was blameless. He was blameless. Now, when we think of the word blameless, if you just look at the word, without blame, is the scripture saying that Job was perfect? I mean, absolutely 100% spiritual. Well, we know, no, he couldn't have been that, because no human is. One commentary says concerning this word, perfection, integrity, or blamelessness referred to the absence of certain observable sinful facts. Observable sinful facts. Job, his friends, and the author of the book were thinking of honesty, marital fidelity, just treatment of servants, generosity to the poor, and the avoidance of idolatry as the foundations of what it meant to be blameless. In other words, Job was a man who honored God in his lifestyle. And if you question that, you return to Job 31, and you'll see Job talking about his righteousness. He says, listen, I took care of the widows. I took care of the fatherless. I provided sheep and sheep's clothing for the homeless. He said, when someone was in lack, I gave to them, and he listed off all the, and that's the blameless that the scripture is pointing to here. It's not talking about he is blameless as we are in Christ Jesus. He's not talking about that. It's talking about an outward observable righteousness or blamelessness, whereas in as far as he had understanding, he walked with God in terms of what God had revealed to him about himself. And I'm going to get more into that here right quick. It says that he was not only blameless, but he was upright. He was upright. Psalm 37 and 37 says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. The end of that man is peace. Very interesting. Proverbs 11:11 says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked, by the blessing of the upright. And so if I was to say of someone, he's an upright person or she's an upright young lady, I am not saying that that person is perfect, blameless, without sin. We're saying in respect to a wicked person, that person is upright and blameless, right? Now, it goes on and it says this as it sheds light on him being blameless and upright as to the reason. Why was Job blameless and upright? The scripture says this, and one who feared God, and one who feared God, okay? One who feared God and shunned evil. Now, I've been saying to you for years at this point, when it comes to us, God is first in everything. He's first in everything. He created us. He Jesus said, I'm the first and the last. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. And when the scripture says that Job was blameless and upright, the question I ask is this: how did Job get to be blameless and upright? And the answer is God. How did Job come to the place of fearing God? Well, we would have to understand that God had to have revealed himself to Job in order for Job to fear God. How can you, the word fear, we understand that it can mean to be afraid, to be terrorized, but this is not that word. This word means to respect or to reverence, right? To honor, to hold in high regard. And so the scripture says that Job, he was one who feared God. But I don't want us to miss this, because Job is who he is because of the revelation of God. As I said, it always starts with God. It always starts with him. And remember the sermon last week, as I went through the scriptures the last 2 weeks, how God revealed himself to Adam and Eve after the fall, before the fall, after the fall, to Noah, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. On and on through the scriptures, God revealed himself to them. Well, the same God revealed himself to Jacob. And out of that comes the fear of God. Comes the fear of God. Now, God's revealed himself to you and I too. And the fear of God is not just an Old Testament concept. The fear of God is a New Testament reality too. We'll get there. We'll get there. So you can't fear God if you don't believe in or know God. Hello? You can't fear him if you don't believe in him, or if you don't know him or know what he's like. Right? But the scripture says that Job feared God and he shunned evil. The attributes, blameless and upright, that are attributed to Job are directly from the revelation of God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 7, Moses you remember Moses couldn't judge the people by himself, and so Jethro said, you need to get other people and install, make judges in the land, elders in the land. And so Moses installs these judges. And in 2 Chronicles 19, 7, we read this. Now, therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, no taking of bribes. No taking of bribes. Let me read this again. He says, now, therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. 2 Chronicles 19, 7. Take care and do it. Do what? Judge the people righteously. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord. So let me show. Moses is telling them to fear God, right? But then he backs up and he gives them the revelation of who God is. And here it is. There's no iniquity with the Lord. There's no partiality and no taking of bribes. That's the revelation of who God is. Now, Moses said, now you fear God and you walk according to his commandment. Okay? So the revelation of God comes and then the fear of God comes, or the fear of God doesn't come. The fear of God is not automatic. So when the Bible says Job feared God, you have to understand God knows fully well who Job is. And this is why when God's, we'll get into this later, but when Satan comes amongst the sons of God, present themselves before God, and the scripture said Satan came with him, and God said, where you been? And he said, well, I've been walking up and down. And God is so, he so knows who he has made Job. God made Job who Job is. He says, have you considered my servant Job? It's almost like you say, people have said over the years, God's bragging on Job. Yeah, because God made Job who he is. How did Job get blameless? How did he come to a place of shunning evil, such a man of God? Because God's revelation to him about himself. And so in 2 Chronicles, Moses reveals to the people and reminds them, God, with him there is no iniquity, no partiality, no taking bribes. All that would be revealed to judges in America and every other country on the face of the earth. The fear of God comes from God's revelation of himself. The fear of God comes from God's revelation of himself. So he reveals himself, then it's ours to choose. We have to choose the fear of the Lord. Rejecting the fear of God, disobeying him, is discounting what God has revealed about himself. So for instance, when they came to Jesus and said, do you not pay taxes? And, you know, or not that account, but they came to him and said, whose inscription? They said about Caesar and taking taxes. And Jesus asked them, whose inscription is on the money? And they showed him a coin, and they said, well, it's Caesar. He said, render unto Caesar what's Caesar's, and render unto God what's God's. So what was Jesus saying? Pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. So today, if you and I engage in tax evasion, we are not fearing God. I'm trying to make it real plain and real simple so you don't miss it, okay? Once we know what God desires, once God reveals himself to us, then we must choose the fear of the Lord. We must choose it, okay? Job was a man who chose it. God revealed himself to Job. Job chose the fear of the Lord. Listen at Leviticus 25:35. If one of your brethren becomes poor and falls into poverty among you, then you shall help him. Here's the revelation. Notice the revelation. If one of your brethren becomes poor and falls into poverty among you, then you shall help him like a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. Verse 36, take no usury or interest from him, but fear your God, that your brother may live with you. And so God says, when you see your brother struggling, help him and don't charge him interest. Now, when the people got the command and when Ezra, when the people came out of captivity in Ezra's day, their own brethren began to enslave their own brethren and charge them interest. And Ezra tore a hole in them. He went off. What are you doing? He says, don't you fear God? We just got out of captivity for this, and you're doing it again? Because the people didn't fear God. Even though God revealed to them how they should live, how they should walk, if they're going to walk with him. So God revealed himself to Job, and as we saw in the sermon last week, God respected what Job respected what God showed him about himself. You say, what is that? I don't know. It doesn't matter what God revealed to Job. What matters is that the scripture says he was blameless and upright, and he didn't get that way by himself, because you know us. We are not blameless and upright. Job feared God because God revealed himself to him. Leviticus 29, 39 goes on and says, and if one of your brethren who dwells with you becomes poor and sells himself to you, you shall not compel him to serve as a slave, which means basically to serve you for free. You're not going to compel him to stay in your house and serve you for fee without paying him wages, because he said in verse 40, as a hired servant and a sojourner, he shall be with you. In other words, you're going to pay him for the work that he's going to do and shall serve you until the year of Jubilee. And then he shall depart from you, he and his children with him, and he shall return to his own family. He shall return to the possession of his fathers, for they are my servants, for they are my servants. There's a revelation. God's telling the children of Israel how it's going to be. They are my servants whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as slaves. You shall not rule over them with vigor, but you shall fear your God. You shall fear your God. So you can observe the fear of God is observable. You can see it. You can see it in someone's life. Or you can see the lack thereof in someone's life. The fear of God is chosen. And so when I'm thinking about, these people who want to overthrow, they're still talking about overthrowing the government here in America. And there were Christians on the floor of the Senate praying to God and saying, God, we thank you that you gave us the Senate. Did God give you the Senate? Did God say overthrow the government? Where in the Bible is that? Someone please tell me, who no Bible scholars. Someone come with it. Come with it. Did God tell you to, hello? Oh, I don't hear nobody responding now. Look here. Come on now. Where is it? It doesn't exist. Any Christian involved in this talk of violent overthrow of our government to reinstall Trump or any other president is not choosing the fear of God. Why? Because Romans 13 says that we ought to be subject to the governing authorities. Oh, hold on, Pastor, but there's a caveat. Oh, is there? Where is it? Please tell me. Doesn't exist. Listen at Proverbs 1:20. Proverbs 1:20. Wisdom calls outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning. You ever done that? Scorners delight in their scorning. Remember I told you the story of a man, Mr. Tibbs, who was playing pool, and I was a smart aleck 15-year-old, and I had my feet up on the pool table, and he was playing pool with the young people, and he came by, and he said, put your feet down, because my feet were in his way. He couldn't shoot the shot, and I ain't paying no attention to him. Hmm? And he came around second time, said, put your feet down, and I didn't listen to him. And he took that pool stick and came down across the shin of my leg, and it hurt so bad, I snatched my feet down off that pool table because he was teaching me the fear of the Lord. Amen. He was teaching me as a young whippersnapper, as a young smart aleck, as a young scorner, that you're not, okay, you're not going to live that way. It's not going to be good for you if you choose that course. And so so Solomon here in Proverbs 1 is saying how wisdom cries out. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Listen to me, in other words. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. Revelation. Revelation. I will make known my words to you. I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm going to show you what I'm about. I'm going to reveal myself to you. Wisdom is saying to him, to those who will listen. And he says, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh when you're at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. In other words, the fear of the Lord is time sensitive. There's a time to fear the Lord. Hello? Let me say this. The time to drive the speed limit is not when the flashing red and blue lights are in your rearview mirror. That's not the time to choose the fear of the Lord. That's not the time to think that, you know, to choose that when God said that he gives, he does, that the ministers of righteousness do not bear the sword in vain. He's given them authority to keep and make laws. The time to question that is not when they're pulling you over. The time to realize that and give yourself to it is before. So if we walk in the fear of God, we're going to be free from fear of evil, the scripture says. So let me read something and just bring this into today's world. A pastor in Florida expressed the pain he and his congregation are feeling after 6 unvaccinated church members died of COVID-19 within 10 days. A church in Florida had 6 of their members in 10 days die of COVID-19. I read this article last night. I'm like, what? As 20 to 30 others remain sick with the virus. Senior Pastor George Davis of Impact Church in Jacksonville's Arlington neighborhood told News4Jax on Friday that he is urging more members to get vaccinated amid the outbreak, which he does not believe started at the church. He noted that all the members who died were healthy before contracting COVID-19, and 4 of them were under the age of 35. 4 of the 6 under the age of 35. Now, like I said a couple weeks ago, something sinister is going on because God made doctors. He gives them understanding. When we get sick, we go to the doctor. We listen to the doctor. We believe, you know, I told you about my experience. I went into AFib, went to the doctor. They shocked me. I'm good. They give me medicine. I'm good. I'm like, okay, that works. God blesses doctors with knowledge. But then you get a vaccine, you get a pandemic. The same doctors go make a vaccine. Now all of a sudden, oh no, that same doctor who helped me with AFib, he's trying to kill me. I can't take that vaccine. I can't take it. The whole government, there's a chip in it. There's this, that, and other thing. And I'm saying, dear Jesus, what on earth is happening to people? What on earth? Come on. No, that's not the case. And like I said last week, even if it were the case, God's sovereign over it. Hello? He's sovereign. When Daniel and the 3 Hebrew boys were in Babylon, they set the king's meat before him and said, here. And Daniel said, no, please don't let me. I don't want to defile myself. And the Lord was gracious and he granted him. But what if he hadn't granted it? Then Daniel and his 3 Hebrew friends would have had to eat meat offered to idols. Back to Proverbs 1, verse 28. Then they will call upon me, I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. One of the most bizarre and heartbreaking things I have heard, and I've heard it repeatedly over the last few weeks, was this. The doctors telling people that when the unvaccinated come into the hospital sick with COVID, they say, can I get the vaccine now? And the doctor says, I'm sorry, it's too late. It's too late. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. I set before you this day life and death. Choose life. Choose life. Wisdom goes on and says, they would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them. And that is a literal, that scripture right there is literal today. It's literal. There are people turning away the vaccine. There are people on social media mocking the vaccine. And the very people who mock the vaccine comes down with COVID and dies. You say, well, but they could have got the vaccine and then got sick and then died of COVID. Yeah, they could have, but there's a whole lot of other people, many more people dying unvaccinated of COVID. The complacency of fools will destroy them, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Job feared God because God revealed himself to Job. What does that say about you and me? If there is anybody on this planet who ought to fear, have a healthy fear of God and fear of the Lord, it should be Christians. Why? Because God has revealed himself to us through Jesus Christ imminently. There is no further revelation of who he is. Jesus Christ, the express image of his person, being the brightness of his glory. Hello. It pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. So when you see Christ, you're seeing the fullness of the Father. There's no further revelation of God. And so who should have the highest degree, or who has the highest degree of the fear of the Lord available to them? It would not be the unbeliever. It would be you and I. It would be the Christian. The fear of the Lord can be taught. It can be taught. Listen at Psalms 34:11. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So you say, well, maybe I don't fear God. Can it be taught? Yes, it can be taught. You can learn the fear of the Lord. What does he say? Verse 12. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil. That's why my children probably get tired of hearing me say it. But I'm telling you, social media gives you the wherewithal to destroy yourself. Because you can say anything you get ready to without thinking about it. You can tear up your reputation. You can tear up your character. And people do it every day. All kinds of things on social media. Social media isn't evil of itself, but it just gives us enough rope to do the hanging. Hello. That's why I love pictures of the Susquehanna and beautiful sunsets. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. You would be surprised how many Christians will let it rip on social media. And you sit there looking like, ho, 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 you a Christian? For real? Depart from evil and do good. seek peace and pursue it. That's what David said in Psalm 34. 2 Kings 17, the people who came in and ousted Israel from their inheritance came in and they didn't fear God. They didn't know God. So God sent lions among them and they destroyed some of the people. And the people went to back to Assyria and told them, hey, send some of those Jews back here so they tell us how to worship this God, how to act with this God, because he's killing us with the lions. Guess what the Jews did? The Jews who wouldn't fear God and was thrown out of the land, they sent priests back and the priests came back to unbelievers, and it says in 2 Kings 17, then one of the priests whom they carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Taught them how they should fear the Lord. The people of God didn't fear the Lord, so they're in captivity. And so now they're going to send someone back to teach those who don't know God how to fear God. There are so many promises associated with the fear of the Lord, the fear of God. Why am I doing this? Well, number one, I couldn't get away from it. I felt like I had to cover this because this underscores and explains for us how Job got to be blameless, how he got to be upright, how he feared God and shunned evil, the scripture says. All of that was a product of God revealing himself to Job. And Job even says in chapter 31, he said, if I were to shame the homeless, if I didn't take care of the fatherless, if I didn't take care of the widow, he said, wouldn't I not be taking my God's name in vain? Job understood exactly what he was doing. So the question was not about, is Job righteous or not? No, the book of Job is about something altogether different. See, the book of Job is about this. When a righteous person who is doing everything, quote unquote, right, all of a sudden begins to suffer, then how does that work? What happens then? Because there's always this temptation for the flesh then to fall back on its and rely on what it has done. And God has never relied upon what we've done. If he did, he couldn't even save us. Hello? It was his love that saved us, not anything that we had done. So listen at Job 28:28. At the end of this, this is a beautiful, my favorite passages in the book of Job is the whole of Job 28. At the end, Job said that God prepared all of these things for man, and to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So the fear of the Lord. In Psalm 25:14, David writes this: the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. The secret of the Lord. That word secret in the Greek, listen, it means a session. It means a company of persons in close deliberation. By implication, intimacy, consultation. In other words, to those who fear the Lord, you will have the counsel of God. You will have a session with God because wisdom will talk to you in the fear of the Lord. We just read where the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. When a person fears God, wisdom teaches your heart. When you fear the Lord, guess what? Wisdom teaches you what to say or what not to say before you say it. That's what the fear of the Lord does. That's what the fear of God does. And that's why we need it so desperately. So the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Psalm 19:19 tells us, or 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean. It is clean. It's the fear of the Lord that when you hear a dirty joke or when you're watching a video or when I'm watching a video on YouTube and they start and they get the cussing, I'm like, dear heaven, okay, I'm done. I can't, I'm sorry, I can't do this. I can't take it. I want to see the content, but I can't. Or when they get with the dirty jokes and all this business. No, why does that bother you on the inside? Because you know what pleases God. And since that doesn't, then you want to step away from it. Why? Because you fear God. This is why Christians don't go clubbing, or why Christians ought not to go clubbing. Hello. You're looking at the club door and say, oh, no, there ain't nothing for me up in there. Oh, no, no. Mm-mm. Don't even think about it. Never even been tempted to go. Don't even know where they are. Don't know phone number. No, nothing. Hey, you hear about club? No, I don't even know what you're talking about. Club for what? Golf clubs? What are we talking about? No. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. If Adam had the fear of the Lord, he wouldn't have eaten from the forbidden tree. Eve was tempted, but not Adam. He wasn't tempted. He knew exactly what he was doing. He rebelled against his creator because he did not fear God. He did not respect what God revealed to him about himself. He says, Adam, the day you eat from that tree, you will die. Adam didn't respect it. God revealed. Notice how God is first in Revelation. He is always consistent. He will always let you know where he is. And based upon where he is, that lets you know where you are. God is faithful. You'll never be able to say to him, but God, you didn't tell me. You didn't let me know. I'm sorry. Don't go there. Read the book. Read the book. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where holy knowledge comes from, is the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 8:13 reads, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Why is the fear of the Lord to hate evil? Because God is good. God is good. So, you know, the moment you're in an altercation with someone and you know something fixing to fly out your mouth and the Holy Ghost on the inside of you and pulling you back saying, mm-mm. And you just, and he's like, and then you say it or you submit. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. This is wisdom speaking in Proverbs 8. Notice the pride, arrogance, all these, perverse mouth, intangibles. But yes, yet they're listed here. Pride and arrogance. Where do we see that? We see it everywhere. Poor Governor Cuomo. My God. All the things come out against him. I did not mean that. I did not say that. I'm saying, dude, man, humble yourself. Resign. Sit down. Sit down. It's time. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. Prolongs days. It'll help you live longer. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. Next verse, Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. When I was 15, my friends and I were up at Tyson's Corner, the old mall. I'll never forget. And we were on our bikes, and we were up at a restaurant, and there's this big muscle this bodybuilder guy who was a trainer over at the mall. And we're in a restaurant eating, and somehow we get to talking to this guy, this man. And he started saying, you need to come on over to spend some time with me. On. And right about that time, I started getting this real unsettling feeling and I'm 15, I'm not saved. But I had a mother at home who was saved. I had a mother who prayed for her children every day. You know how mothers are, who set a hedge. See, we're going to get there with Job. He had a hedge around about him. I thought I would get there today, but no. But I had a mother who prayed a hedge around me. And there was this unsettling feeling. He said, "Are you coming?" And I was like, "Oh, no. Mm-mm. No, y'all go ahead." Yeah. "No, I'm going home. Because I don't know you. And I don't feel comfortable with you." You say, "Well, what happened?" "I don't know. I don't know." And that was the focus, not to know. I didn't want to know. All I knew was that I had this feeling on the inside of me said, "Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No. No." Proverbs 15:16, "Better is a little," God help us with this, "better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble." Huh? Better is a little. And the whole world's trying to get the great treasure. The whole world is running after that number. "Come on, Lord, give me that number, Lord. I need to hit it this week, Lord. Come on." But better is a little with the fear of the Lord. And I'm learning this like I never learned it before, like I've never known it before. Proverbs 15:33, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Before honor is humility." The fear of the Lord is the fear of the Lord will teach you things beyond your years if we will listen. If we will listen. Proverbs 16:6, "In mercy and truth atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord one departs from evil." Proverbs 19:23, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction." You want to live a satisfied life? Fear God. Fear God. So we don't have to manipulate and coerce and to try and get that job promotion, you know, that one that the other person got, but it really should have been me because I've been here longer and y'all looked over me, and so I'm going to go and do this, that, and the other. And really? Joseph went through that, but he didn't manipulate. He didn't coerce. By humility, Proverbs 22:4, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." Riches, honor, and life. By humility and the fear of the Lord. And I would want to say concerning that word riches. It's in the Old Testament, but you know in the New, it doesn't always mean what we would want it to mean. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, chapter 8, he says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Paul called the Corinthians rich, and they barely had enough to scrape together to put an offering. He called them rich. We would call them poor. He called them rich. Because we have our eyes on the wrong riches. God help us. God help us. Proverbs 23:17, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day." In Ecclesiastes 12:13, we know it well. At the end of his book of wisdom, Solomon said this, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." You want to hear the conclusion? Fear God and keep his commandments. He says this, "For this is man's all." All. My goodness. Solomon said, "This is it. You want what it means to know God and serve God in a nutshell? Fear him and keep his commandments, because this is everything." And the Bible says Job feared God. he feared. I'm spending so much time on this because I want us to understand how loaded that phrase is when the scripture says Job was one who feared God. Job was a godly man. Job was, now, did he go overboard? Certainly. Was he wrong? Certainly. But Job was a blameless and an upright man. One who feared God. Now, the fear of the Lord can be discerned by all people. Indeed, the scripture tells us that all the earth should fear the Lord. All the earth should fear the Lord. Now you say, well, I'm referring to Psalm 33, verse 8. It says this, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. That's what the scripture says. All the earth fear the Lord. And yet, you might ask, well, but you just said that the fear of God comes from the revelation of who he is. Exactly. Has God revealed himself to all the earth? You better believe he has. He does so every day, all day long. Back to one of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows forth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night shows forth knowledge. Every day we wake up, we are looking at the revelation of God's faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Except for Christians know it and we praise him because of it. But unbelievers just benefit from God's goodnesses and never say thank you. Why? Because they don't appreciate, they don't respect, they don't revere the revelation that God has given of himself. And I remember being an unbeliever. I remember waking up every day and thinking, what a life. I couldn't appreciate the revelation of God, but it was there. Every day, church. And that's why the psalmist can say, let all the earth fear the Lord. In Romans 1, we're told that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. He's talking about the ungodly. He says, what may be known of God is manifest in them. Why? For God has shown it to them. That's revelation. God has shown it. I remember at 7 years old playing outside on Dick Street, 5309. I remember our address. I remember everything. I remember playing with my ball, throwing it up in the air, looking up into the sky and saying out loud, there must be a God because nobody could do this. I actually said that. Nobody could do this. I'm looking at the clouds and the expanse of the sky and I'm thinking, whoa, man, this is look like what Bill has up here. Yeah, I said, who could do this? There must be a God. Yeah, because of the revelation that God had given of himself. Now, at that age, I didn't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but it was very apparent to me that there's a God in heaven who created all of this because nobody, none of us did it, right? That's what Romans 1 is saying. God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Clearly seen. My goodness, we see the sun come up every day without fail. We're warmed by it. If it didn't come up, the earth would be, we don't want to know what it would be. It would just be awful. And yet, God causes his sun to shine upon the just and the unjust. He calls the rain to fall upon the righteous and the wicked. He takes care of us. He gives us good seasons and fruitful seasons, the scripture says. And so it says that his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So all the world is without excuse concerning the fear of God, concerning the revelation of God, because he's made himself known. Because although they knew God, Paul says, they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. In other words, they didn't choose to fear him, nor were they thankful. So the Lord revealed himself to Job, and Job revered God and chose to fear God, which led him to live a blameless and an upright life. The life that he led before God. Thus, the author of the fear of God in the life of Job is God. He's the author of it. And it explains to me why God said to Satan, hey, you seen this guy here? Have you considered Job? Or in other words, have you considered what I've been doing in Job? And the devil even brings it. He said, but you got this hedge around him. See, let me at him. And God showed, and because of what God was doing in Job's life, God showed Job off. And I know some of you saying, please, Lord, don't show me off. Don't show me off. All the glory, therefore, belongs to God in the life of Job. And he can do whatever he wants to with what is his. Last time I checked, we're all his. So, we've received, as Christians, the most full and complete revelation of who God is through his son, Jesus Christ. However, it must be chosen. The fear of God, the fear of the Lord must be chosen. I'm going to close with Hebrews 12, because what I would typically do, having looked at the fear of the Lord in the Old Testament, I would flip to the New, because I'm not going to do all those scriptures. I will do this one. We'll start with and show the revelation of God in the first part, and then the godly fear in the second. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. This is Hebrews 12:25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Now, when God speaks, he's revealing his purpose. He's revealing his person. Okay? And so here we have the revelation, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now, this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So in the New Testament, Paul exhorts the church to serve God with godly fear. Why? Because he just talked about the revelation of God revealing that he's going to shake all things. And then the writer, I said Paul, if he is the writer of Hebrews, he says, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And then one last phrase he mentions, he goes back to revelation, the revelation of God. He says this, for our God is a consuming fire. I said, oh my God. He said, let us serve God acceptably and with godly fear. He said, do you respect the fact, do we reverence the fact that God is who he says he is? I hope so. The writer says, because he is a consuming fire. And so we see that as God reveals himself, it presents to us the fear of God that we must then choose to receive what God says about himself, to humble ourselves under his mighty hand, right? And then walk in that fear. Everyone has access to the fear of God. Everyone. Why? Because God has revealed himself to everyone. But not everyone chooses the fear of God. May we grow in the fear of God in this coming week, because he's continually revealing himself to us day by day. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the life of Job. We thank you, oh God, for the fear of God in his life, that he was blameless and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. because you revealed yourself to him. He chose the fear of the Lord. And Father, as you have revealed yourself to us, and you continually do so, may we, like Job, choose the fear of the Lord, and may our lives, O God, Lord, be lined up according to your word. May our lives be blessed from fear of evil, O God, because we walk in your ways and we choose the knowledge of God. Father, I pray that your word would have free course in us, and that your word, Lord, would transform us into your image and into your likeness, O God, that we might live for your glory and your praise. For you are worthy. For you created all things, and by your will they are and were created. Be praised, O God. Be magnified, we pray. And help us, O God, Lord, to know what it means to serve you in all the ways that you've chosen for us. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said amen, amen, and amen.